Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.
Choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we're great for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, always thankful for these great opportunities to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Would like to update you a little bit as to some changes happening to Abounding Grace Radio and the times of our airing. As you know, we have been airing in the San Diego area and the Phoenix area. The Lord has opened up these opportunities for us, and we're very thankful for that. We find it to be a little bit more beneficial to move to the half-hour format. So here on KARI, we are going to move to 4:30 in the afternoon, from 4:30 to 5 on Abounding Grace Radio. We're not going off, Carrie. To all of our listeners who have supported us for all of these years, we are very grateful for your support. We're thankful for your letters and your financial support and just the encouragement that you have given to us. We can't express enough how thankful we are for you. But want to let you know that you can now tune in at 4:30, and if that time you are unavailable, you can always go to our website at agradio.org, and all of the programs will be there for you, free for download. So do please make that note. This will be our last week running it at the 8:30 time slot and the 2:45, actually at 2:45 and the 8:45, and we will be moving to 4:30 in the afternoon from 4:30 to 5. Well, we're returning to our study today in Psalm 32. And you remember how beautiful this psalm is. It is a penitential psalm. David is confessing his sin to the Lord and receiving the wonderful news of God's forgiveness. Now, you remember the context here. Yesterday, David was telling us what he had done. He's telling us that he tried out a season of rebellion. You remember in verse 5, he uses all three words to describe his awful path, to give a comprehensive picture. I sinned. I committed iniquity. I transgressed. What was David rehearsing? Well, we know Psalm 51 was written immediately after his sin was exposed with the whole Bathsheba incident. Many take this psalm together with Psalm 51 as a psalm that was later written after he was able to consider the big picture and look at the whole story. You remember the account. He had lusted after Bathsheba, watching her from his rooftop. And when he found out that she was married to Uriah the Hittite, he ordered to have him put right on the front line to be killed. With total indifference to his life, he said, "Hey, the sword devours one as well as the other." And then this king of Israel, the one who was to be the model of piety and godliness, takes Bathsheba as his wife and has children with her. For months, there was no remorse. For a gasping period of time, he went without any confession or repentance. Here's the point. How could the king of Israel not see that he had done that? You see, we can go for months, we can go for years in what Hebrews says is the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is so powerful, and it has the effect of hardening the heart. You know, Romans 1 says there's a point when people go after their sin that there's this point of no return. They can fall headlong into sin till they get to the point of having a conscience that is completely seared. They don't even feel it anymore. There's Ephesians 4 that they are past feeling in their sin. Now, why is David doing this? Well, in these Psalms, he's not even discussing really the sin itself. He's not like these guys who tell us how bad their lives were before they came to Christ, which actually ends up glorifying their rebellion. That's a lot of common speaking today. That's not what David's doing. His goal is he wants us to consider what his life was like under this rebellion. And he describes in verse 3, when I kept silent, when I didn't come clean, and I didn't confess, my bones grew old. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. All my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. In other words, God did not let him rest in his sin. He was miserable in the sin. Isn't that something? Sin promises pleasure and enjoyment. That's why we go after it. But here's the problem. Not only does it bring forth death in the end, but the whole time of running, God won't let any of his sheep find real rest in it. David says, I experienced actually that the Lord's hand was heavy. You ever notice how people who claim to be believers are totally miserable people sometimes? It's a sad witness, isn't it? Well, if we harbor sin, the Lord comes after us. He loves us. He loves his people. I mean, it's a beautiful message if you think about it. But here he comes after the conscience, and we may experience a real sense of God's divine displeasure. John Calvin would describe all of the inward torments, in fact, even a mental agony that people will go through in their sin, in the departure. It brings forth a kind of madness as people inwardly devour the sorrow. It actually, at some point, they burst out in rage. And what happens to the body? It's been proven that things like unforgiveness waste away the body. Whatever the case, David is saying that this mercy of God coming after him penetrated right to his bones. He had no strength. He could go nowhere in it. He can't help but think of a kind of depression that hit him. Isn't this the prodigal son? Takes his father's inheritance, runs the other way as far as he can run, where he was loved and cared for in his father's house. And what did he do? He ran to the house of another man who made him a slave. And before it was all said and done, he's out eating the pods which the pigs eat. He's in the pig slop. That's his life. That's what he's done to his life. All until we read these little words in the Gospel of Luke that he came to himself. He woke up. And the first thing he said when he came to himself was, I'm returning to my father. Notice how David describes this. Day and night, there was no relief of the burden of my sin. Remember what God did to bring him out of this sin? God sent Nathan. That's why we need the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of the word. That's why we have to be in church. It's so important for your spiritual vitality and for God's glory to worship him and enjoy him. What a blessing. God sends Nathan the prophet, who gives him a parable about a man who had everything in life, and then he tells about a man who had nothing in life but one little lamb. And the rich man came and took away that poor man's lamb. David hears that parable and says, ah, the man who does this shall surely die. And then came the words, you are that man. At that moment, David awoke. And what did David say? I have sinned against the Lord. For months, he could continue to represent the kingship of Christ with no remorse and go through the motions of his religion with no broken heart. And so can we. This is our story. How did David get out? Well, he says, in the midst of my misery, I tried something else. This is so beautiful today. I tried something else. I went to the Lord. Why is that so hard for us? Do you hear, dear listener, that the intention of this whole psalm is to invite us to prayer, to come to the Lord who desires to forgive us and help us in time of need? And that's the beauty of this. Notice how the Spirit inspired this to encourage you. He says in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. I was in total misery trying to run in my sin. I said, I will confess my sin and you forgave. This is your definition of confession as a Christian. He's not telling you go to a priest. Notice that. He's not telling you go to a pope. The Lord wants you to know that you can come directly to him and he will hear you. That's what he desires. Confession is an acknowledgement, an observing of your path, what you've been doing and what you've been going and where you've been going, that you are saying back to God, I agree with what your law says. I have chosen a path that is wrong and I come to you confessing it. I'm not hiding this. I agree that I was wrong. And you know that you've come to a real place of repentance when you can agree with God that what your sin deserves is his wrath. As David said in Psalm 51, you are blameless when you judge. If you were to enter into judgment and condemn me, you would be righteous. You know how hard it is to come to this place for sinners? Listen, we live in a society today that tells us we're all victims of our circumstance. You've been exposed to a rough upbringing. You've faced many perils as a child. You're wired this way. And so we spend billions because of what plea in the courts? Not guilty. We're used to lawyers who come and defend innocence and will be evaluated by a psychiatrist at the end of the day who will say, hey, this man was not thinking straight. And in his mind, the man begins to believe that. Hey, what I did, I just really didn't do. Something took over my body at the moment. Welcome to our justice system. He will say not guilty as countless dollars, hours, and energy are spent to defend his claim of innocence when he may even be deserving of the death penalty. What would be the greatest rarity in our day? Well, it would be to see a mass murderer stand up in court and say, I don't need a lawyer. I'm guilty. And I could show you the evidence. I am guilty, and whatever you decide to give me, I deserve. Do you know, dear listener, God is pleased when we are honest with him like that? Because we are master covers. And it's the most difficult thing to be persuaded that we have the problem, that we are sinners. But do you see what the Lord's inviting us to today? In verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity. I stopped hiding. I stopped playing the games. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, I said, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Notice there's no break there. As soon as David came to the Lord, which you can do right where you are, call out to him. Call out to him and confess. Look to Christ for forgiveness. And right then and there, God forgives the iniquity of your sin. This is his powerful gospel. This is what he once announced to the ends of the earth. Come to me, said the Lord. Come to me, and you will receive the forgiveness of all of your sins. Dear sinner, have you come to the Lord? Well, again, we're grateful you've taken the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today. We want to remind you that next week, our program will start at 4:30 in the afternoon daily, all the way to 5 o'clock. So do please make that note and that change. And you can go to our website for any of these programs, which are free for you for download at agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.